will pray. I live to worship you. Help me say,
I'm not afraid to die.
need you to breathe. You are the air I breathe. I need you to breathe. Oh, I need you.
Amen. Amen. Saul says, I need you to breathe. And how many of y'all know that without God, we wouldn't even have the breath that we have now? Beautiful song. It was my first time hearing it, so I definitely wrote it down. I need you to breathe. And I remember a while back I had taught a lesson, How Bad Do You Want It? And still on that same focus, how bad do I want God? How bad do I want God to be involved in my every part of life? And that's how bad that you need God, or you should want God, that he is your breath, the breath now and the breath that you will take. That's how bad that you want it, just how bad you want to breathe. So good evening, Now Network family. I am definitely always honored to be before you on this evening, and God has just been doing some great things. I know we started off our year at our church, Abiding Faith Fellowship Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on New Year's Eve night with a theme, the year of suddenly. And we've been just moving forward in that theme, the year of suddenly. And guess what? God has been doing great things, and he's been doing it suddenly. It's like it's not taking him any time. It's like phone calls are coming in, or emails are coming in, or you're meeting people just out of nowhere that has the next piece to your next level, and it just happened suddenly, and it's just amazing. And just before I start, because I had received a phone call, I had went to Maranatha Theology Center, and just wanted to sit in for a few classes just to, you know, kind of always feed my soul. And got received a phone call. She, the director of the school, called me and said, you know what, God has put on my heart for you to teach this summer, to teach a leadership class. So as much teaching as I have done in my life, and I mean, I've taught in schools, and, you know, as far as I'm a cosmetology instructor, I've taught the young students and everything else, man, college level is something different. And that just happened suddenly, just out of nowhere. Just suddenly, you know, the book just got, you know, pushed and propelled into another area that I didn't even dream that it was going to go, the empowerment seminar. And so everything has just happened. So again, I want to encourage you today to not get ready, but be ready. Not get ready again, but be ready. Because the thing that man said that you can't do, God is saying that you can do. Or that thing that God said, that man said no to, God is saying yes to. Those ideas that you just had in your head that you thought that just was so back and just gone, all of a sudden you're going to start thinking about those ideas again. All of a sudden you're going to start thinking about those dreams again. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're just going to meet somebody that you're going to connect with to help push that thing forward. And I'm talking about it's going to happen suddenly. Even today at work, a woman was walking past me, and I gave her a flyer for the event, and she looked at me and she said, God put me in your life. I needed to meet you. I'll make a meeting with you, and I'll talk to you. I don't even know what it's about, but suddenly it just happened. So, but tonight, what I want to talk about, I want to start, keep on our journey. Last broadcast, last month, I still remember so fresh in my mind. It was powerful, and it was impactful. And I thank and praise God that I'm always obedient to the word that he gives me for his people, because it was much needed. And God still has me on the same subject, taking charge of your journey. And on last week, we talked about in taking charge of your journey, you have to let go of the pain. And the best way that I can describe it, men and women of God, is that if you're, I know some of you are in California, some of you might be in the cold weather like me up here in Wisconsin. So those that understand driving on ice or snow, and as you're driving and your car begins to fishtail out of control, you know how all of a sudden in reaction you take control of that wheel and you get that car back straight and in line to go forward, because you know if you don't take control, it's going to veer out or somebody else's lane or veer out of control, and it's going to hit something, crash into something, either kill you or kill yourself. You have enough sense to know when this car seems to be going out of control, I have to take control of it, put it back in line, back in order, so I don't hurt myself or hurt anybody else and continue on my journey. See, that's the thing. That's another point. Because when that car began to get out of control and you got it back in line, you didn't just pull over and park and just say, okay, I'm done with this car. I'm just going to get out. I'm not even going to touch the car no more. No, you stayed in the car and you kept going to your destination. That's the same thing with life, men and women of God. There's a lot of things that's going to come against you or have come against you, and it got you kind of fishtailing and veering off of the road a little bit. I need you to get back. I need you to take control and get back in line, get back in focus with God, God's plan for your life, your purpose, your dreams, or whatever it is, and I need us to move forward. I need us to move forward. So, again, on last week, I talked about letting go of the pain. This week, I have a very important subject, and that is breaking the spirit of victim. Breaking the spirit of victim. Okay? And at one point or another, most of us have been a victim of something. If I can just get a few amens. And if you could just name some things, just, you know, out loud where you're at. You've been a victim of rape, or you've been a victim of discrimination, or you've been a victim of abuse or false accusations, people lying on you. You've been a victim of rejection, or how about sudden illnesses just out of nowhere, or sudden tragedies. You might have been a victim of robbery or a victim of self-hate. Victim of bullying. There's so many things that I can name. Name your own things right now to yourself, or get a pen and paper and write it down. What have you been a victim of? And a victim is a person injured or wounded physically, mentally, or emotionally. Okay? So that is a person that has been wounded physically, mentally, or emotionally. Being a victim is painful, it is frustrating, and it's devastating at the time that the incident occurred. So at the time that you were robbed, can you, you know, I don't want you to remember if you don't need to remember, but at the time you were robbed, you were frustrated, you were scared, you were confused, you were hurt, and, you know, and a whole lot of other things. So at the time that it happened, there were emotions that you went through. And guess what? I truly understand that. However, the long-term effect of staying in that mentality or staying in that spirit can leave you feeling powerless and hopeless. With many of us, what has happened, and I remember talking about this like it was just a badge of honor of some sort, but what happened to a lot of us is that we begin to build these walls around us and around our life to protect us from it ever happening again. So if you was a victim of heartbreak or a victim of divorce or, you know, any of those, all of a sudden you started building these walls, and you're like, yeah, I got my guard up. Yeah, I got my walls up. And you had them up proudly thinking that that was going to keep you from ever getting hurt or harmed again. But today, please today, I need you to make a decision that you are not going to remain a victim. Today, it's got to be over. And I'm going to tell you why as we go further. But today, I just need you to be like, okay, she don't understand what I've been through. She don't know what she's talking about. She don't understand how bad it hurt or how long it lasts or whatever the case may be. Listen, I'm on all levels with you right now, okay? Because those things that I just named as far as being a victim of, that was me. I can't, again, never preach past my life. I can only give you my own life experiences, all right? So remaining a victim, now don't get mad at me, please don't, but hear me. Remaining a victim is a choice. Remaining a victim is a choice. A psychologist said, and it was interesting because I was like, oh, that kind of hurts. You know what I'm saying? That people are choosing. Don't nobody choose to remain no victim. How can you say that somebody chose to stay in that type of state or stay in that type of spirit? This is it. A psychologist said, and I'll quote, "It is not my fault if I get hit by a car." So can you picture you walking across the street, you have the green light, you have the white walk sign and or the people flashing walk sign, and you're walking across the street. You have every right and every right of way to walk across the street, and out of nowhere, you're hit by a car. That's not your fault. But it is your responsibility that if you're injured, to learn to walk again. It's not your fault that you got hit by the car. It happened. I'm sorry. The hit, it happened. I'm sorry. The broke legs, it happened. But now it is your responsibility to learn to walk again. You cannot hold the person, the person that victimized you, responsible for the hit and the rehab. Are y'all hearing me? You can't hold that person responsible for what happened, and you want to hold them responsible for the rehab, and you want them to hold them responsible for your healing, and you want to, I'm sorry. I wish that you could, but you can't. When the act is over, it's over. Now, what you choose to do and how you choose to move forward is actually really your choice and responsibility. So in John chapter 5, verse 6, I'm going to put a little word with it. When Jesus, this was about the man in the pool of Bethesda, been laying there for 38 years. And the word of God reads, "When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, 'Would you like to get well?'" Okay? "He said, 'I can't, sir,' the sick man said, 'For I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me.' Jesus told him, 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk.'" Now, we know that he was ill, or we know that he was lame. In the King James Version, it says lame, which means we don't know how he got lame. We don't know how that happened. We don't know if it was birth. We don't know, again, if he was robbed or if he was ran over by something, or if he, you know, however that happened, but all we know is that he was lame, okay? And what we do know is that he started to become a victim again when asked the question by Jesus. Are you hearing me? Hear me. Hear me. We know that he was lame. And when he was asked the question, "Do he want to be made whole?" that victim spirit rose up in him, and he began to make excuses to stay stuck in the condition that he was in. And if you can recall any incident that you've been victimized in your life, and when someone brings it up or when somebody asks you about it, or even if you remember it yourself, how you just kind of go in on that thing and how you just can, you can recite the story with full drama. You'd be a one-person play with it. You know his part, her part, their part, whatever it is, what they said, how they said it, where they was at, even probably what they had on. You still got the victim spirit back. If you can go back and do all that, you still have the victim spirit. And then on top of that, if you can make excuses for any of your behavior based upon what they did, then you have the victim spirit. So therefore, I had a bad attitude for about 2 years after this last divorce. And I will always say, you don't understand what I've been through. And I will always go back to that divorce because it really was the ultimate man, you know what I'm saying, to me. But I always had an excuse as to why I had this bad attitude. Always had an excuse as to why this is just how I am and this I accepted and that, that, that. And I had an excuse as to why I had a smart mouth. I always went back and blamed the divorce for me being how I am. That's called being a victim. It is time to walk towards your freedom and your healing. You cannot stay in this mindset. You can't. So let's start rehab today. Today we're going to start some rehab. Today, or another word that I use, is called resilience. Resilience is the capability to recover quickly from difficult situations. It is the ability of to be able to spring back. You need some resilience. You need some rehab, and you need some resilience, okay? I'm not here to judge anyone. I can only speak on my own life, but I bet I have someone on here that can relate to what it is that I'm saying. Because like I said, the most fresh thing in my mind was the divorce, and I could reenact that whole entire thing from, but it was time to let that go. As long as I stayed a victim, check this out. Hear me. As long as I stayed a victim, I attracted victimizers. As long as I stayed a victim, I had excuses for my negative attitude. As long as I stayed a victim, I could not seem to have peace or happiness in my life. Thinking that your walls are so high and they're going to protect you, no. Victimizers can smell victim blood. They will climb over your wall. They will dig under your wall. They will even use a spoon if they have to dig through your wall to get to you, to hurt you again. And you're wondering why you keep repeating the same cycle of things. Because of that victim blood, that victim spirit that's on you. It can only keep you in that mindset or in that spirit by being fed more hurt and more pain. Oh, my God, I just said something. I'm like Pastor E right now. I just said something. You're going to catch that in 5, 4, 3. In order for me to remain there, because, listen, after that divorce, I was so, like I said, in my emotions, in my feelings. Well, immediately after, not so long after, I attracted another victimizer. That next victimizer, man, it was almost worse than the divorce. I'm talking about a public disgrace by this person. Hurt there. Went along. Maybe a year later, attracted another victimizer. Hurt again. As long as I stayed in the victim attitude, I attracted victimizers because then it kept me with excuses to stay how I was. Hopefully I just helped somebody. The worst thing about staying a victim, you more than likely will turn around and become a victimizer yourself. Stay in that thing way too long, and you're bound to become now the victimizer. And if you don't have someone to have as your victim, you will for sure do it to yourself. You will for sure do it to yourself. That's where you start talking down to yourself. That's when you start questioning yourself. That's when you start doubting yourself. That's when you start looking at yourself and saying you ugly and you fat. You can't find nothing. You can't find no joy in you at all. Good Lord, been there, done that. That is where some of our drinking started, or some of our drugs or cigarettes and things like that started. You might say, I don't do those things. I never done those things. So, no, but like I tell you, but you started thinking low of yourself. You really don't even have any solid relationships anymore. Hello? When you are a victim or you become a victimizer, you don't even have solid relationships no more. Your friends are coming and going, you know, turning around just like a revolving door. Even, you know what I'm saying, if you're a woman, even women don't want to be around you. If you're a man, even men don't want to hang around you no more. Or you begin to stay at home and you don't like to do nothing. Ooh, I think I just hit about 3 people with that. You don't even want to go out the house. You'd rather be at home. You don't even want to be socialized. You don't even want to be around crowds no more. That means you got the victim spirit. Even with God, you're not even as close to God as you could be. Because you, the wall that you think you got up for people, you got that up for God. I had it so bad, I sabotaged relationships. You come in my life, I would have you gone by at least 3 weeks. I didn't want nobody around me. I didn't want nobody in my life. But I kept trying to feel like maybe I should do it. And then as soon as I did it, something was like, nah. I mean, I found everything wrong in everybody but myself. I found everything wrong in female friends, male friends, or whatever. I found something wrong with you as the reason why I couldn't be your friend. I ain't like this about you. I ain't like that about you. And I was sabotaging you. You were going about your business. And I'd be like, see, that's what I'm talking about. Really? Because I had that victim spirit on me. I held other people accountable and responsible for the action of my recovery. That's another thing. People that come in your life, you don't realize what you're doing. You're looking for people to come in your life to heal you. And most of them don't even realize like that. They, unbeknown to them, they're like, I'm just coming in your life to be your friend. But you're looking more so for a healer and a savior. And when they're not giving you what you want, you go ahead and diss them and push them to the side. That means you're being a victim. You have to be able to recover from these tragedies quicker. We can't be going on 2 years, 22 years, 39 years. Baby, he gone. She gone. It's done. It's over with. Why are we still doing this year after year? 7 years still talking about the same tragedy. We can't anymore. It's time to let go. The best person that recovered quickly, let me give you this story. The best person that recovered quickly in the Bible was David. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse 15. And I'm going to read it quickly for you. But I want you to get that David recovered quickly. David said, listen, I'm going to be a victim for about 7 days. Then I'm going to get up and I'm going to recover from this thing because guess what? It happened. It's done. It's over. I got to move forward. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 12, 15. After Nathan, I'm reading from a different version. I apologize. I didn't put down what version I have. But it says, after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David, which you know is Bathsheba, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and spent the night lying in sackcloth on the ground. The elders of his house stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that this child was dead, for they thought while the child was still living, he wouldn't listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? How he may do something desperate. David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? David asked. Yes, they replied. He is dead. Then, check this out. David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house. At his request, they served him food, and he ate. David's like, it's time to get up now. Child dead. It's over. And I'm not saying that to be harsh, like, okay, child dead. I'm not saying that to be harsh. Please don't take it like that because I know death does take a little bit longer, and death is tragic. But what I'm trying to say is we can't remain in this year after year after year. Yes, there's a grieving period. There's a grieving process. I don't care what happened. I don't care if you went through a tragic illness, there's a grieving process. If you went through a divorce, there's a grieving process. If you went through death, that's a grieving process. If you lost your job, there's a grieving process. I understand. And there's a period of time. I'm talking about year after year after year. You still holding on. You still got bitterness. You still got anger. You still got a grudge. No, we got to get up. Time to recover. Because this is what David said, verse 21. His attendants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fast and wept. But now the child is dead, you get up and eat. David answered, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. David said, what more do I need to do? I can't change anything. It is what it is. It happened. But what's the first thing David do? When it happened, he went and worshiped God. That's the first thing he did is he went to God. You cannot skip that step. If you really want to get up and if you really want to get rid of this victim mentality and this victim spirit, you got to go to God. You got to lay it all out. I don't care if you got to fuss, cry, holler, scream, whatever. You got to lay it out to God. And then get up and start moving forward. David said it real plain. It happened. It's over. Time to move forward. 7 days he cried about it. Then he bounced back. You can have a moment of pity, but we're not going to have a party, y'all. We're not going to have a party. I will cry with you. I will even pray with you. I will even stay with you. But then there's a period of time that you need to get up. You need to wash your face. You need to go to God. You need to put your clothes on. You need to eat, and you need to move forward. You got to get back in there to fight for what's yours. You got to get to, you don't get to, one thing that I realize now, you don't get to hurt me and walk away with my sanity. You don't get to hurt me and walk away with my self-respect. You don't get to hurt me and walk away with my purpose and my destiny. Put that in your mind, if nothing else. Okay, you hurted me, it happened, but guess what? I'm keeping my self-esteem. I'm keeping my self-respect. I'm keeping my peace. I'm keeping my joy. I'm keeping my happiness. You can walk, but don't take nothing of mine with you. Hello, good God Almighty, somebody. You don't get to have that of mine. You can rob me. You can take my money. You can take my purse. You can take my car. You can take all my jewelry, but you're not going to take my faith. Because you're not going to put me in fear. You don't get to have that. That don't belong to you. Because guess what? I didn't give it to myself. God gave it to me in the first place. So guess what? The scripture said, will a man rob God? So guess what? If you rob me of any of those things, you ain't robbing me. You robbing God. If you victimize me in any of those things, you victimizing God. Because I'm God's child. So guess who I'm going to let deal with you? God. Because you tried to take something that belonged to him. I'm about to close the book on that one. Does it hurt? Yes, it does. I know those things hurt you. I know separation from your parents or somebody walking out on you, not having your father, not having your mother, being raped, being molested, being physically abused, mentally abused, sexually abused, losing a great job, just getting a pink slip and walked out on. Or being walked off the job, for home foreclosing, you lost your home, car repoed, a sudden illness, and now you say, I know those things hurt. Yes, baby, I do. But remember, being so down and out for the count, you'll start losing yourself. I need you to regain back that person who you are. It's time to rehab. It's time to get that resilience going, that bounce back going, and that recovery going. It's time. It's also time for you to dial 1 if you want to get in this conversation. Talk to me. Questions or comments or whatever the case may be. So while Pastor E is doing that and you're dialing 1, if you're going to take charge, let me say this. Again, dial 1 if you want to be a part of this conversation, if you have any questions or comments. But one thing that I want to say, if we are going to take charge of our own journey, you need to get back on the road. You done slid off to the side of the road, and you stuck. You don't even want to call a tow truck. You don't want to call nobody for help. You just want to be over there in a ditch, stuck. Baby, get back on the road. You land in the bed all broke up, and you rather stay there than go through a little pain to learn how to walk again. Baby, it's time to get back on the road. Whatever it was, it happened, but it's over. It happened. Over. Yes, it happened. Yes, it hurt. Yes, they should not have done that. But it's over. Yes, you were raped, but it's over. You were cheated on, but it's over. They even locked you up in prison, but your time and your sentence is over. They foreclosed on your house, but it's over. You still living? You still got a roof over your head? You even got divorced. It's over. Yes, you even went through chemo for cancer. But you got a clean bill of health now. It's over. No more victim. Time for rehab. Time to walk again. So if Pastor E has anybody on the line that dial one that wants to come in, let's talk about this thing. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Hold on. I was doing some work at the same time. God bless you, woman of God. How are you?
I'm wonderful, sir. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Always multitasking. Amen. Everybody out there, what an awesome word, and what the flow of the Holy Spirit, woman of God, you have definitely encouraged us tonight. We want to get our listeners involved tonight. Come on, dial one, get involved with the conversation. You may just came on board and said, I don't know how I got here. I just need prayer. I need a voice. Come on, dial one and get involved. Women Speak Now with Pastor Valoris Brooks. So how are you, woman of God? I hear your fire. I see your direction. You ready for let's talk about it. When are we launching?
We're supposed to launch tomorrow.
Oh, good deal. Good deal. I'm glad you confirmed that.
Yes. It's just that things have changed suddenly. And I thank God for it because like I said, on last year, even by the end of December 2018, December 31st, my mind was just totally messed up and jacked up just from all that I had went through. And then all of a sudden, God just straight flipped my mind. It was like, okay, turn this off, turn this on, let's go. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to go.
I was ready in September. I had crossed over. Now, you guys know me and about to cross over and no more years and no more looking at timelines, but let's look at seasons. And I was ready. And I had already crossed over in September, but I'm seeing the manifestation of the now. When? Now. It don't come when you want it. It don't come when you thought it should. It don't come when you figured it should. But when it comes, it comes. Right. But I'm learning something, that as we learn that, and I have to share this with everybody that can hear out of the sound of my voice, is that what God had for you, Pastor Valoris, will never die. I'm talking 48 years ago, however long, 50 years ago, 20, 30, whatever God had spoke into your life, and even though it was through a tunnel or a throughput of someone else, and maybe they blocked us, and maybe they cut it off, and maybe they didn't release it, it never dies. God showed me, he said, it never dies. It's still, what is done in heaven is done. And when he speaks it to someone else to let kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and they don't release it, it's just a roadblock for them to get what God called them to go, but it doesn't stop you from your blessing. So I'm telling people now, call it out. And if you really want to get drastic on some things that you are old, no, pull it down.
Yeah.
And watch God replenish all of the things that we have lost. I'm so excited. Got some new great news. I don't know if I want to announce it here. I did announce it yesterday on Wake Up, Get Up. And we'll talk offline. But God moved doors like when? Now. Minister Terry, welcome to Women Speak Now with Pastor Valoris. How are you?
Bless. Good evening, my beautiful family, Pastor Valoris and Pastor E and all the Now Network family and the listeners. Glory to God. Good evening, sister. This has been an awesome word because I love what you said. We are to take charge of our journey. And I love what you said about victims. Victims do attract victimizers. So we have to break those chains, because I know a lot of people are still complaining about a loss of a job. And but you have to realize sometimes when a door closes, that may not be the door for you. So we have to stop and move forward. Let the Lord go ahead and trust him. Because sometimes we put so much on ourselves and being victims of small things, big things and small things.
Right.
Awesome teaching. I tell you, God bless you. I love you. You keep
love
doing this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah,
like
you
said, you know, just that having that attitude, trying to victimize us. It was interesting because Pastor E, when I look back at the time that I became a victim up until when I released it, there was nothing good in my life. I'm not saying good because God is good, but I'm saying the people that I attracted, they came to suck more life out of me. They came to hurt me even more, you know, or else even the enemy even used my own family to hurt me at times. And it just seemed like it just, and now that I don't have that attitude, man, me and my kid relationship is wonderful. You know what I'm saying? It's much better. You know, my family or a different situation, it's just much brighter. It just seems to be more awesome. I'm like, wow. And God had to show me that because you remained in that spirit.
Yes.
Because you remained in that spirit, that's what you kept attracting.
Yes.
And even, and you kept, and then on top of that, you kept pulling that out of other people.
Well.
You know what I'm saying? So that's even worse is when you're pulling that same victim spirit out of other people. You know, man, you said something, sis. You said something.
Yeah. But God
bless
you.
That's real.
God bless you too. Love you all, family.
Bless you, family. Come on, anybody else? We got a couple more minutes. Go ahead and dial one and get in the conversation. Evangelist Virginia Valentine, welcome to Women Speak Now and Be Heard with Pastor Valores. Good evening.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yep, I threw you under the
ma'am.
Bus. Yes, we can hear you.
No, you didn't. Did you really?
No, ma'am. You know I didn't. But we wanted to welcome you in.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for that. And thank God, too.
Amen.
Amen. How you doing tonight, Pastor Valores?
I'm wonderful, Evangelist. Thank you. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed on favor.
Yes.
I'm blessed on favor.
You better be.
Oh, it's so much I could share. It's so much I could share. And God is good. And let me say something. I was eating just now, but I had to stop because I could hear you saying some things. And I have a real eye in the front of me. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here with a real eye. I got a green salad. I got a baked sweet potato.
And she just stopped eating her food.
And I had to stop. And the word is good, and I need to push this steak aside and eat it later. Oh, hallelujah. But let me say something. Your sermon, that sermon you brought forth just now, it was straight from heaven. And God really, really loves you. And I want to say to you tonight, you keep doing what God called you to do.
Yes, ma'am.
You keep preaching. Keep preaching and teaching the word of God. And don't turn to the right nor to the left.
Yes, ma'am.
But you need to stay straight ahead. Stay focused. Stay focused.
Yes,
no
ma'am.
No matter what's going on. Oh, my God. No matter what's going on. If you need to ask somebody, ask me. And I could tell you, it's some things that went on in my life. I'm not bringing it up, but Pastor know about it. I'm sure some of the people on the network know. I was attacked in December, and you would never believe it. I thought about Peter. When Peter got out of the boat to walk on the water, and when he took his eyes off of Jesus, and start looking at all the circumstances and things around him, he began to sing. And I hear some preachers be on there saying he sang. No, he did not. They say he began to sing. And Jesus reached down and picked him up. When he called on the Lord and said, Lord, save me. And I heard you said about you don't go through things. You for a period of time, you grieve for so long, because it got some people grieve for a long time. You grieve or whatever, but you have to let go of some things. Let go and focus on God. I thought that when I was in the hospital about in December, there was some things that I never, ever thought would happen to me. And now you would never believe it. When you talk about being victimized. I heard a preacher talk one night, and he was preaching on being a victim. He said being a victim. Then he come back, he said a victim of a snake bite. I said, what type of sermon is this?
Uh-huh.
Being a victim of a snake bite. And he couldn't get himself together. And I mentioned that you go on about being victimized. You could have been in an accident, or shot, or sick. Or some things could have happened to you. But you don't lay around and stay around. You're going to have to get up. Even if you feel like you can't walk again, get up. Get up.
Yes, ma'am.
You said, you get up. You said so much till I know. I say, this sister here, you can tell if you done been through something, God's going to come back and he's going to pick you up.
Yes, ma'am.
And he's going to put you back on the boat. He's going to tell, let's go to the other side.
Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you, Mother.
Did y'all get that? He's going to
yes,
pick
ma'am,
you up, child of the Lord. And he's going to put you back on the boat. He's going to say, let's go to the other side.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
We serve a mighty God. We serve a miraculous God. And I listen at you. And I listen to you tonight. I had to stop for a minute. And I missed some things that you said. But you talked about being victimized. Being hurt.
Yes,
ma'am. I've been married 3 or 4 times. You've been married 3 or 4 times. You know why? A lot of times, let me tell you about marriage. A woman get married with a man and this woman hook get together, and you get married.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, I've been married once. But guess what? That wasn't your husband in the first place.
Yes, ma'am.
That wasn't your husband in the first place. We make a mistake, and we go and we marry somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And your husband was still out there.
He was still out there.
And you may say, I've been married 3 times. Hey, so what? You want to get married again? Make sure this time is God.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Make
sure,
sure this time is God. I'm talking to the men, too. If you want to get married again and you want a wife, you better make sure it's God. Don't be victimized.
Don't be victimized.
Don't be victimized. You better wait on God, because he told you. When I married my first husband, I'd never been married but once. And I knew, I said, you know what? You wasn't my husband from the first beginning. You wasn't my husband. I married you. My husband was still out there. He's still out there. I can marry when I get 90.
Oh, come on now, Mother. Yes, ma'am. I believe with you.
Do y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I can marry if I want to get married at 90, because God told me, you pray for that man, and you be specific about who you want. Be specific yes. about this man, what you want in him, what you want him to look like. I want him to be tall, handsome, and nice, looking, good looking, and plenty of money.
Yes, come on, Pastor, you hear this? Amen,
no,
Mother.
Good looking, handsome, dressed nice, and plenty of money. And go cherish me and go love me and go take care of me.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the type of man. You don't want nobody to be victim to victimize you, being victimized and being mistreated and going through all of those turmoils and all that stuff. No, that's not of God. That's of the devil.
Amen.
That's of the devil. And then, Pastor Valoris, if you decided you want to get married again, I didn't ask you where you're married now. Are you?
No, ma'am, I'm still single.
Well, you still single. And if you decided you want to get married, you wait on God.
Yes, ma'am.
And you tell God what you expect in that husband. You tell him yes. what you expect in that man. You be specific about him.
Amen.
Be specific. Be specific.
Yes, ma'am.
Be specific about him and tell God what you expect in him. Yes. I can't can't stand no man with his mouth. Let me share. I'm going to have to share this since you put me on this line. I don't want a man coming to me saying, God, send him your mouth regular. You need teeth in your mouth.
Come on, preach
another. You don't have a car. You don't have a job. You don't have nothing.
Mm-mm.
You can't
that
take me him. Nowhere but to McDonald's. No. I'm not going to be victimized.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
Do y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I hear you.
We hear you. Yes, ma'am. We hear you. We hear you loud and clear. No, we hear you loud and clear. That's true too.
It is.
That is so true. We got to keep it real.
I'm gonna keep it real. I tried to get on there the other night when y'all was on. I said, Lord, have mercy. I know Pastor don't see this number. I need to get on this line. I need to push one. I need to get on.
Oh, it was a bunch of people. It was so many people on that line. I didn't see nobody. I was really, and then you see me. I had to go there. So
yeah.
I apologize for not seeing you.
But you know what? You shared some scriptures on there the other night, and I had them all written down. The same thing you talked about. I was ready to go with it.
Yes, ma'am. Would come back Tuesday. Make sure you're there Tuesday. This is part two of Once Saved, Always Saved. The devil is a lie. This is part two on Tuesday. Be there. Invite somebody. And we're going to make sure you get in on the top end of that. And a lot of others that wanted to get involved too. But we ain't letting nothing just be said up in here. We're going to definitely stay scriptural. And stay in agreement. Amen. Bless you, woman of God. We thank God for you, evangelist. And we know God is continually growing and elevating your life. And we just thank you for your covenant as we close out here. Pastor Valores, you want to pray us out of here?
Yes, I do. Just also too, want to let you know that I have a new book out called The Strength of a Woman. Please inbox me or get in touch with me if you would like a copy. And I would definitely send it to you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for yet another evening, God. We thank you and praise you for your word that's going forth. God, we just ask that you touch each and every heart and mind that's listening now and will listen also later, God. I ask, Father, that we begin to come to you with all of our hurt, our pain, our issues. And, Lord, I ask that you release the spirit of victim in us,
Lord.
Oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask that you begin to heal us and restore us and set us free, oh God. Break the chains, oh God, from each and every person that victimized us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Break the chains, oh God, that we do not still have that bitterness. We just still don't have that anger, that we don't still have that depression behind that thing. Lord, not only just loose us, but loose them from us, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we're going to do that by right now saying, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. And I forgive myself in the mighty name of Jesus. And then, Lord, forgive us for anything that we've done wrong against anybody. And, Lord, then forgive those that have done wrong against us, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you. And like David, God, we're going to get up. We're going to wash our face. We're going to come. We're going to give you glory. We're going to give you honor. And we're going to give you praise. And, God, we're going to get back on the road, marching and moving forward on purpose in our journey and taking charge of it, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we need some of those copies here at the Now Network so we can put them on the shelf. Bless you, and God bless everybody else. But won't he do it?
My shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid.